Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Are you ready for Christmas? I knew that would be a controversial title. Because after Thanksgiving meal, we sometimes feel like, oh, if I could just rest for a few minutes. Perhaps you've been traveling, perhaps you've encountered many things this past week, and you're not necessarily ready for the events that are coming. We are in the season of Advent. That is the season where we acknowledge that Christ has come. Christ is here. Christ is coming again. Most of us consider this a season of waiting, especially when we have children and grandchildren who are simply waiting, biting at the bit. They can't wait for the season to begin. It seems as though they've picked out a certain toy or game or something they've seen on television, and they desperately desire finding out whether they're going to get this thing that they want. Some of us, this season is mixed with various kinds of emotions. You know, we have memories of family gatherings, sometimes warm and hopeful, full of joy. And sometimes the memory that comes to mind is old Uncle Sam's drunken outburst. We have various memories. Sometimes we have memories of a family that is now broken up. It's scattered. The saddest Christmas that I can remember, I read back through some of the poems that I wrote as a young man, and I was isolated and alone. Both of my parents had died, and my sisters were way off someplace, and I was in a foreign country, and I was very lonely. And loneliness seems to accompany the season. You know, the people that we take the gifts to in the nursing homes, they feel abandoned and sometimes just warehoused in the loneliness that they feel, especially at this season. You know, more people die at this time of year than all the other times of the year put together. This is a time when if you're waiting to go into a nursing home, you're going to find an opening in about 6 weeks, because there's going to be a pathway there for you, because someone else has already given up. You know, after Thanksgiving Day, we realize that it's come and gone, and now we're aware of the Christmas lights and the Christmas music flowing over the radio and in the elevators and in the malls where we go to, and we're available to see the colors green and red, and we see the sights and sounds of Christmas. We experience all of that. And so we kind of grow in anticipation through all of this kind of feeling that we have. That maybe, just maybe, this will be the year when we have something to bank in our memories that is wonderful. That we will be like the wise men, and maybe we'll find the Christmas child. You know, or maybe we'll look up in the sky and we'll see a bright light and we'll think something's coming and it's going to be grand. Maybe we can open our hearts and receive the reflected glory of Jesus this year and let it so shine into the dark world in which we live that people will be warmed by it. People will know that they have encountered Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful season. We thank you for the anticipation that grows within us. For some of us, we've known that Jesus is here for a long time, perhaps from the earliest that we can remember. We know that your promise was fulfilled in Bethlehem. We know that you came to us. We know that you're here because you promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, and we can feel the Spirit that you've left here, the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We know that you're there for us, that as long as you are for us, nothing can be against us. And we know that you're coming again, that there will be a time when all of the wickedness of the world is slain, when the terrible things that afflict us are cast out forever. Oh, what a joyous reunion that will be when you come once again into our broken lives and put us together. We look forward to that, Father. But Father, today, as in every time that I preach, I ask that you would cast my words out, my feelings out, my memories out, that nothing would come between the people and your word, that you would speak to us, Father, that you would speak with words that enrich our understanding, that makes us feel anxious to know you and to know you in a fuller way. Father, be with us today. And whatever language we listen in, may it be the language of love that we hear. May we know that you are here because you're singing your lullaby of love to us. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My text from the day is from Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then we will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the home is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. You know, Mark is writing amid violent, brutal, desperate circumstances. But he is assuring his readers that we still live knowing help is on the way. Mark tells us that as we suffer the threats of terrorists and economic dislocation, when though we may undergo the grief of a lost loved one or the grief of shattered relationships or our love gone down the drain, we live with a confidence based on the promises of God that a new world is coming, one rooted in healing, reconciliation, and peace. The birth of Jesus is the first taste of that promise. The green shoots that we see at this time of year remind us that spring is on the way. And too often, I think the Advent season can bring as much doubt as hope, because we recognize the difference between how God wants things to be and how things are. How God wants us to run the world and how we run it. We see the poor, the hungry, the faces of people who are suffering. We see the tragedy of dissolving families. We see the isolation of the elderly, the terrible divisions that hatred, greed, and racism, nationalism, and materialism brings. And we realize that all of these people that are like that are filled with anger and frustration and violence, are people that do not know that Jesus has come. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming again. They don't know. And that's the reason we see violence in our neighborhoods and we see violence in our communities and violence all over the world. We see it because people are acting out because they're frustrated. They're not fulfilled. They do not know that God has made them in their own image. They do not even like their image. The images that come to me are man's inhumanity to man. I saw a television thing where they showed this man who was on a camera, a hidden camera in New Orleans, and he shot a man who had rescued a woman who he was dragging off. And this young man who worked in the hospital came to protect the woman and to shelter her, and for his troubles, he received a bullet through the stomach. And then as he lay there on the pavement, the man put his gun down to his head and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. He cocked it again and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. I see that kind of inhumanity. Every time you turn on the television, you see it. And yet, these are people that God loves. He loved the man who was trying to cold-bloodedly kill the friend, the man who came to be the friend of the woman. He didn't know her. And that kind of mistrust that we have of one another at this time of year seems to go away. Even though we get warnings, that we're not supposed to meet in public places and we're not supposed to be around crowds and we're not supposed to fly and we're not supposed to. Fear attacks us. But the absence of fear is Christ. Because when Christ fills you, that fear goes away. Perfect love casts out fear. And so, we have many misunderstandings at this time of year, and people are still waiting for Christ to come into their lives. They've never known Him, the Prince of Peace. They don't have any peace in their minds, their hearts. Yet, we are the people who know and celebrate Christ who have to give Him to the people who do not have Him. And if we are not willing to love people unconditionally, with an agape kind of love, then how will they ever receive it? If we do not share the gift that God has given to us with everybody, how are they going to have it? They won't. We did not gather here as a people of despair, a community of anger, of cynics. We come to celebrate what we know is of Christ, to proclaim the joy that is within us, that even the circumstances around us cannot prevent us from receiving. You know, there are many sick today. There are many. I've heard stories of so many people who are sick and in the hospital and other places today. And they can't come and share the joy of the season with us. And so we must take it to them. We must share the joy within us, with them. That is the greatest thing that we can do. That's what Christ calls us to do. He calls us to be people that are like Jesus, to grow up like that. And everything we do, and everything we say, every time we smile and say Merry Christmas, and mean it from our hearts, every time we do that, I believe that we are sharing Christ the way He's meant to be shared. There are several ways that we can do this. I think we can live the truth of what Desmond Tutu said. This is what he said. The heart of the gospel is precisely that God, the all-holy one, the all-powerful one, is also the one full of mercy and compassion. He's not a neutral God resting on Mount Olympus someplace. He takes the side of people who are downcast. He loves people who are broken. The Bible tells us He loves a broken and contrite heart. He cares about them. He cares about the poor and the needy and the naked and the people who have nothing. And He takes their side, not because they deserve it, because quite often we can see that they don't deserve anything except what they have received. But He takes their side because He's that kind of God, because He knows that there's no one else to be their champion, no one else to stand up for them. They need to receive God's gift. We get ready for the Advent season by striving to live lives that are lived out according to God's desire for us. We are to follow the commandments of Jesus to love one another, to do good to one another, to cheer one another, to bring the good message of hope to one another, to be the kinds of people that spread the contagion of God's love to the world. That's who we're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to act. And second, we have to take the risk of living according to God's commandments. And yes, there is a risk involved. Think about Mary. Mary was faced with the most challenging thing she could possibly be faced with. Her social situation, they would have stoned her to death if she did not have someone to claim the child that was growing within her. She was an outcast. She was someone who was poor. And yet God came to her, and what did Mary reply? She said, "Be it to me according to your will." Be it to me according to your will. Whatever you want, God. Whatever way I can be useful. She talks about herself as the handmaiden of the Lord. Whatever I can do to be useful. But she's not alone. Whether it's Mary or Moses or Samuel or Paul or any of us, it becomes very personal, doesn't it? When God speaks to us, it becomes a very personal thing that we have to take a risk for. Moses was sent on an impossible task. He complained to God, "You've given me all these stiff-necked people." I know exactly how he feels. Stiff-necked, stubborn people. But when God speaks and calls his name, Moses says, "Here am I." Samuel. God speaks to Samuel. Samuel was, you know, he didn't know what in the world was going on. He was totally confused by it. But when God spoke to Samuel, Samuel said, "Okay, whatever you want." What did Paul cry? Paul got knocked off his mount. He was in the dirt. He was blinded. He was a man who was blinded before because he was blinded by the anger and hatred within him. He was roaring around like a roaring lion, seeing who he could possibly destroy. He was going after Christians, and suddenly he's cast down and he is shocked to find that God is speaking to him in such a way. And he cries out, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" You see, all these people took the risk of becoming available to God. It was not a risk to be taken lightly. Paul says that he'd been many times shipwrecked and robbed and beaten and stoned to death, and he had many times faced trials and tribulations for God. It isn't something you say lightly, but when you make yourself available to God as His gift to the world, you tick up a cross and follow Jesus. That's what you do. That's the time that we give away. Shows others that we love them. There's a four-letter word. It is time, T-I-M-E, that we give to people as an expression of our L-O-V-E, of our love. That is how people know that we care about them. And so we try to get ready for Christmas, but it means by opening ourselves up and trying to open up the hearts of others to be receptive to the message of God. One of the things when Zacharias was preaching in here on Thanksgiving Day, I had a man who had been a missionary in all kinds of places in the world, in the Ukraine and all over the world. And he watched and he saw how people were loved and how people filled this room with just adults many, many times. And as they came in the first time, the second time, he stood in the back and he watched and he said to me, "They're made to feel so comfortable." You see, love is not confrontational. When we give love away, it becomes a comfort to people. People feel like they want to participate. And so when Zacharias asked for people to raise their hands if they accepted Christ, all the hands went up because they wanted an extension of what they had. You know, it's kind of a surprise, isn't it? Mark tells us to be ready to watch, to watch, to be ready. But then there's a surprise. A surprise comes in lots of different ways. My son sent me something for my birthday. He said, "This is a really silly thing when you get it." And I received it, and it was a flashlight, and it has a thing that you can break the windows and escape the car, and a little thing that cuts the seat belts, and I mean, he was thinking that, you know, Dad's getting pretty old. He might run off the road someplace. But I really liked the gift. I mean, it was a terrific flashlight. But it was a gift. It was a surprise. You know, I got to thinking about this. For 700 years, we've been singing at this time of year a song called The 12 Days of Christmas. You remember that song? "On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree." Think about that. Who gives their true love a partridge in a pear tree? I don't know anybody who's ever received a partridge in a pear tree. But, you know, there's a surprise here, there, and yon. here, there, and yon, there's a surprise that comes. Perhaps instead of that, you'll get a vacuum cleaner from Sears. Or you'll get some wool socks. Or you'll get, you know, some things filled with coal. Or maybe you'll even get a floor mop from True Hardware. Okay? And you think that that would last 700 years? On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a floor mop from True Hardware. I don't think so. I don't think that works. We have Almighty God, our true love, and He gives to us something incredible. He gives us a gift greater than any gift we've ever received. He gives us a gift that is wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, in a feeding trough, inviting us to come and partake of Him. And if we do, He gives us life eternal, and that's something to sing about. That's something that you could sing about 2,000 years later or 4,000 years later, or for eternity, you might sing, "Great is our Savior and our Lord. Great is the present that He gave to me." It's not a mop from True Hardware Store. It's not just a partridge in a pear tree. It is Christ given to us. That's worth taking a risk for. That makes us joyful. That's the gift that makes everybody satisfied. That is the gift that everybody, I think, wants. Don't you? Don't you want more of Jesus this year? Don't you want more of Him? This is the Advent season. This is the season to get charged up, to get enthusiastic about it, to get excited about it, to love the Lord God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might, all of your mind, everything that was within you. Sing out praises to the Lord. Because this is the time of year we remember the gift. Yes, we need to be waiting and watching. We need to be not found sleeping. We need to be actively engaged in the work that He left us to do, so that when He comes back, He'll look at us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You shared the life I gave you with others." That is what Advent's about. Sharing the fact that Jesus has come, Jesus is here, and Jesus is coming again.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.